Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And a very good morning to you from Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. I'd like to welcome you to the show this seventh day of October 2005. And with me today is Mr. Greg Ferrier for another excellent event on some theological issues. Want to say hello?
Well, good morning. I must say here that John is flying the plane here this morning.
That's always dangerous when that happens.
Yes, and I'm sitting here in the right seat, and he's over there in the left seat. Not necessarily politically speaking, but the right seat is usually the co-pilot, and the pilot would sit in the left seat. So we're flying this thing.
I guess the windows are behind us here, so that would make me in the left seat and you in the right seat. I guess you're right about that. I guess you could be standing against the wall, though. You never know. Then it'd all give a different perspective, wouldn't it?
All right. Well, keep your eyes and hands on the controls, and let's see if we can fly this thing this morning.
Well, we'll try to. The weather today, we have showers with a slight chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. Locally heavy rainfall possible. Highs in the mid-70s, east winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And we're going to, that's about it. So look out for a rainy day as you get on your way today. We have another phone number, 864-244-9904, in addition to our regular two phone numbers, which are 864-244-8177 and 864-201-6955. However, because Dr. Coben is trying to fly the plane, as you say, and even though he has masterful trainers in Daniel and Mark, the main production staff here, he's very unsure of himself and not sure if he'll be able to turn that new phone number on if it rings. But you can try. And if you can't get through on that, just call back on one of the standard numbers. Anyway, glad you joined us today. We have a lot of controversial stuff to talk about today, but all good stuff that designed to make you think better and help you in your own Christian life to do the right thing. We're going to be talking a little bit about perhaps Judge Napolitano's book, as well as something about neocons. And then there's been some controversy still over one of my most recent articles in the Times Examiner on nations and nationalism, specifically the immigration of Christians. And there's been also some controversy, I understand, about Dr. Stephen Yates' new article in this week's edition of the Times Examiner, where he lauds libertarianism. And so we'll be looking forward to discussing some of these issues. I think, too, we were going to talk, weren't we, Greg, going to talk about the quotation from Noah Webster yesterday, too, and the controversy some people had? Well, in fact, you may want to go ahead and lead in onto that. But that's kind of what we're up for today, and maybe a little bit more. Look forward to hearing from you soon. There should be an exciting edition of Christian Worldview today with Dr. John Coben and guest hosted with Mr. Greg Ferrier.
All right, you want me to bring up that Noah Webster quote? I don't have anything in front of me what it exactly was, but it had something to do with Noah Webster, I believe, was the man quoted saying that the Word of God teaches us.
I have it right.
Okay.
Right here. Okay, here it is. This is what the email said. For those who didn't know, this was out of a News with Views articles from Kelly McGinley, Righteousness or Republicanism. The Noah Webster quotation came somewhere maybe about, 30 lines down. It says, "When you become entitled to exercise the right of voting for public officers, let it be impressed on your mind that God commands you to choose for rulers just men who will rule in the fear of God."
And that's where you took off on that. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say to choose that. And it struck me that, Christians, where we have the duty or the privilege to vote, then that is not necessarily wrong, but in the mass of governments throughout the world, throughout history, most people have not had the opportunity to do that. So on the one hand, if you have a responsibility given to you to vote, I suppose that must be the context that that quote came from. But in most cases around the world, they don't, and throughout history, you don't get the opportunity to vote. And if you do get to vote, it's probably not a, a valid election to begin with.
Yeah, that's a great, great way to frame it. I think we have an obligation as Christians to do the right thing and the best thing as good stewards of the responsibilities and abilities that God has given us here in the world. And in that case, when we're voting for people, we want to vote for the men we believe are just and right and so forth. We're not going to certainly go out of our way to vote for a pagan. But the problem that my issue I had yesterday was that God does not command us anywhere in the scriptures to vote for any ruler.
In fact, like vote for Nebuchadnezzar or Saul or now you see that Saul had up front he had the approval of the people, and of course in your book and in other conversations I've had with you. You use the warning that God gave to Samuel and Samuel to the people that he would take their sons and daughters and make them into all kinds of his servants. So just think of this throughout history. Vote for Nebuchadnezzar, vote for Pharaoh, vote for Henry VIII or any of these people. Would you throughout history have had the privilege or the choice? Vote for Caligula or Nero. It's probably like voting for Fidel Castro. They have elections all the time in Cuba, but Fidel always wins. And that has been the case throughout history. Now, of course, there are the exceptions, like in the United States. I get the suspicion that we are very quickly having our elections invalidated just by vocabulary. The different parties use different the different main parties use different language, but they all seem to mean the same thing.
Yeah, well, that's certainly the case here, where we have a one-party system with a couple of third parties trying to move in and maneuver on the outside. Now, this brings up a very interesting point, and I think it highlights the principle of what we're saying here. We don't believe that pragmatic voting should be the principle that Christians follow. Pragmatism is never a good rule, and to sit there and say that I'm going to vote for George W. Bush because he's the lesser evil between the two main parties, for instance, John Kerry, is pragmatism, and it's wrong, because you're still voting for somebody who's evil. It's not a wasted vote to cast one for principle, and we can't make a very compelling case that the United States would be far worse off in this moment if John Kerry were president rather than George W. Bush. What is wrong is that Christians cast their vote for somebody who is evil. They should have cast their vote for either the Libertarian Party presidential candidate Michael Badnarik or the Constitution Party's candidate Michael Perutka. That would have been a wise choice, and I think if that's what Noah Webster meant when he wrote this, I wouldn't have any problem with it at all. You're voting for a principled man. You're not voting according to pragmatism. And in that particular case, you're trying to do the right thing before God. In voting for pragmatic reasons, and putting that the office of voting that you have, or the franchise of voting that you have out as it were in the fields of pragmatism, you are violating, I think, a principle and a premise of God's word. But we're still not going to say that anywhere in the scriptures God commands us to choose rulers, because if anything, the church is shown as being a persecuted entity under the rulers. The rulers continue to go after them. They're outside of the theocracy, especially. We see only examples in the scriptures of the state being a something that hassles the church, and obviously has nothing to do with the church's involvement in politics, because the system wasn't set up for that. As Greg rightly pointed out, back at those times, we just didn't have those opportunities that we have the privilege of having here in America today, and it truly is an anomalous thing to have such a system set up.
The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers take counsel. Well, I think that's for another time, but I think that verse there was, I hope that was well put in this part of the conversation here. Along those lines, a year or so ago, I ran for office over there in Pickens County, And one of my opponents used to, and I was in the Republican Party. That was a lesson in itself. He said, he talked about he was Republican and conservative. And when I was going around making some of my speeches, I used to say, what's left to conserve? Just the way things were going. And that used to raise eyebrows when I'd say that. You know, yeah, I like to call myself a conservative, but what is left of it? What is left that we really want to preserve, to conserve? It seems to me that the word radical is more, you know, the evangelical radicals, those who are on the so-called right wing, or they are perceived to be, the ones that want to bring in some sort of a righteous form of government and get elected some sort of a righteous form of government. They're the, you know, the fanatical right, the radical right, the ultra conservative type of people. They're actually trying to bring back something that has been lost in history. And still along those lines and record in the Republican politics, so to speak, we all wanted, I shouldn't say we all wanted, but as a Republican Party, they all wanted the conservatives like Lindsey Graham, and I wonder what he's conserving. And I went online last night, and I went to Gresham Barrett's, not his website, but a site on the Trim Bulletins. It's put out by the John Birch Society, and or it's an arm of the Birch Society, I believe. And they give the voting records of various congressmen and senators. And here we have the one out in my district, the 3rd District of South Carolina, Gresham Barrett. I did go looking for Bob Inglis, but they didn't have it because he was not voting on these particular issues. But they have voted in eight. They gave us eight bills that Gresham Barrett voted on. And they give you a star in the one column, and they give you an X in another column. One says lower taxes, and the other says higher taxes. Well, he's got two stars in the lower taxes and six stars in the higher taxes. Without having this on television, maybe one of these days we'll be on television, but the cost in this per family is astronomical. We're talking about foreign operations bill, debt limit increase, omnibus appropriations. What in the world does that mean? That they're gonna? It doesn't mean they're buying new buses. It means that it's to me, it's my understanding of it is it's a slush fund. And he was elected to be the big conservative. Well, let's take this up after the break. I've been given the signal by the pilot that we need to take a break. So we'll be right back.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. Yeah. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Thank you.
Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Just another word for our friends at the Times Examiner. The Times Examiner is the independent conservative voice of the Palmetto State. Are you tired of reading liberal columnists? The Times Examiner features outstanding conservative and libertarian columnists, including Dr. Coben, Dr. Williams, Dr. Thomas Sowell, Marvin Olasky, Ben Graydon, Joe Sobrin, Phyllis Schlafly, Charlie Reese, and contributions from the homeschooling Sheen family. And Greg's going to be talking about homeschooler in just a minute. A homeschooler gone awry, perhaps. The Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at newsstands around Greenville or at their offices located at 44 Pine Knoll Drive. A full year subscription to the Times Examiner is only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576 for the phone number to call and start your subscription. If you want to place an ad in the Times Examiner, we hope you'll do so. Contact David directly at 864-859-6817. That's 864-859-6817. You help the Times Examiner and help your business. And the Times Examiner's had a bunch of controversial things in it. And we want to talk about some of those, and in a minute Greg's going to come back and talk a bit about, finish up what he was talking about before the break, and then mention a couple of things from the Times Examiner. Very controversial stuff this week. Before we do, I want to make one other quick announcement, and that's for the Christian Exodus. I've been usually announcing this later in the show. I wanted to do that a little bit earlier today. October 15th, that's next Saturday, not tomorrow, but next Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., you have the annual conference at the Hilton Hotel off of Haywood Road or Pelham Road there in Greenville. Speakers will be covering a wide range of topics, and there will be lots of stuff going on discussing the feasibility of Christian Exodus. There will be several speakers there, including yours truly. We hope you can register. We're still trying to fill up the at least 125 seats. I think there's about 80 or 90 at last counts. Give a call to 877-727-3578 to register. That's 877-727-3578 for your registration to the Christian Exodus. Last night, the Tyranny Response Unit apparently was on television. I did not see because I don't have a television, but the 11 o'clock news featured me sitting there talking about, I hope, why Christian Exodus is a group of principle and a group of about caring. That's the two words I used to highlight Christian Exodus. Of course, they probably picked something else out of what I said. I don't know, maybe not. But if anybody saw the 11 o'clock news, we'd be really interested to see what they had to say, or what they put on of what I had to say on the air, and what they had to say about Christian Exodus in general. So at any rate, if you can register for the conference, 877-727-3578. All right, Greg, let's take it back to you and pick up where you left off and head over and talk this Times Examiner stuff.
All right. Well, I am in the Times Examiner right now, and let me reverse the process and go back to where, or jump ahead a little bit, fast forward. And our friend Tony Beam has an article that is really echoing the principle thereof, or the thought thereof, is echoing throughout Republican and conservative circles. I've seen articles very similar to his this past week, and in all the scanning over the media that I do, in the Tony Beam article, it's worth reading. I also went to David Limbaugh. That's Rush's brother. David Limbaugh is a commentator, apologist, and a professing evangelical himself. I went to see him one time. He seemed like quite an unassuming fellow. He doesn't come in there and bluster and everything else. He's the opposite of his brother as far as his brother's radio personality. Well, anyway, back to Tony Beam. Let me just read the first sentence or so of his article, which is titled "Historic Opportunity to Change the Supreme Court Gone." Okay? Harriet Myers, President Bush promised to nominate someone cut from the mold of Antonin Scalia or Clarence Thomas, and we get Harriet Myers. I have no doubt she is a fine person. Well, okay. I am sure she is a very capable lawyer, and she probably will be a first-rate justice, but one thing is for sure. The president completely bypassed the historic opportunity to shift the direction of the Supreme Court for decades to come.
Poor Tony. He's just in shock, and I'll interject here before we go on. When I was on the Christian Worldview show, the old Christian Worldview show on WLFJ that Tony, I think, still runs, I told him, Tony, if you vote for George Bush, you're in sin. And he would get livid with me. John, this is just wrong to say. This is a great guy, blah, blah, blah. And he'd be fully neocon supporting George W. Bush. And he said to me, John, if George Bush, with a full Republican Congress, does not come through and give us what we want, then I'm gonna consider switching parties. So somebody needs to call over to his show, where, if he's still there, WLFJ, and ask him if he's willing to switch to the Constitution Party. He said, I'll never be a libertarian, but he says, I might be a Constitution Party person. And now, where I'm wondering if he will be, because George Bush has failed the true conservatives on every step of the way. So Tony Beam, I wonder if he really will switch. He's just going to whine and complain and go and vote Republican again. It'll be pretty sickening. But hopefully Tony, he's a good man. Hopefully he'll wake up and smell the coffee here and move out of the Republican Party. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I had the same theme was with David Limbaugh's article. Well, he did the president did this and he chose that. Let's just kind of wait and see. I'm really surprised he did this sort of thing, and I sit there. You know, it's hope against hope, and kind of circling back to this trim committee thing here. Some years ago at a homeschool convention out in Dallas-Fort Worth, I ran into Congressman Jim Ryan, who was not a congressman at the time. He was running, and of course he made it in, and I got to chat with him for a while. And am I having problem with my microphone here?
No, just yeah. The Times Examiner.
Oh, you need the paper. Okay. And there we go. Anyway, he was running and speaking to us about Christian principles and Christian values and everything else like that. And this was a convention put on by HSLDA, which is the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. And he was there speaking on, if I remember right, it was Christian principles and government and taking back the government and so forth. And now, and he's a professing evangelical with a reasonable testimony until we get down to the voting situation. Here we have a trusting evangelical Bible believer who is, so far as I know, there's no major scandal on him, no scandal on him. He's a, you know, an upright man. But now we have two votes on lower taxes, and we have five votes on higher taxes, and on one of them he did not vote. So he's voting along the lines of the neocon left-wing Republican situation, where their agenda, which brings me back even further to well, actually this happened after that, listening to Senator Bob Smith from up in New Hampshire. I remember him talking to Sean Hannity back when Hannity was subbing for Rush, and he had left the Republican Party. And he said to Sean that the Republican Party uses the conservatives for licking stamps and knocking on doors. When election time comes around, they win the election, they herd them into a little fence, and that's the end of it. Mm. And do you remember when he resigned from the Republican Party, a speech he made on the floor of the Senate, if I remember right? Mm. And he said that, and he said this on a couple of issues, one of which was abortion. I guess another one was on less spending and bringing down bureaucracy. He said, I introduced legislation right out of the platform of the Republican Party. And do you know how much support I got? You're looking at them.
And surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. And this was several years ago. This was back when he, I guess in the primaries, was working his way to run against George Bush. And, as you say, surprise, surprise. Mm. He got fed up and he left. Last I heard, he was back supporting the Republican Party before this last election. And I guess people think they can reform that party.
Well, they're mistaken. You can't. Now, Stephen Yates' article, we're going to talk about this after the top of the hour break. I'm going to give you an introduction to it. I'm going to hand it back to Greg. And when we come back from the top of the hour break, listening to the Bill of Rights, and pay close attention, because the Bill of Rights are long forgotten by the Republican Party as well as most other mainstream people, unfortunately, today. But Stephen Yates has an article saying Christian, conservative, or libertarian. He's making a case for Christian libertarianism. And this really shocked some of the people I know folding the Times Examiner the other night, or so I've heard. But he has some really telling questions here. He says most people who are evangelicals back the Iraq war, for example, but it was completely unconstitutional. The war was not right. We've not been doing the right thing. That doesn't say we're against soldiers doing their job, that we support troops, but we're not in support of this insane war that is run by a bunch of globalists. What, where in the United States Constitution is what Stephen asks, is the commander-in-chief authorized to send American troops to harm's way to enforce the resolutions of a body of globalists, many of them Marxists, that do not have the force of law? He's asked some pretty compelling question, I think, and then he goes on and talks about the neocon invasion into the party and why he thinks Christian libertarianism is right. I'm going to let Greg go ahead and bring up some of those issues, because it feeds in nicely to this whole discussion. If you have a call for the show or a question for the show, please do reach us at 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. Or if you can, try to call us on the new line, 244-9904 in the 864 area code. After we discuss Stephen Yates' article, we're also going to be going into Judge Neopolitano and his book, Constitutional Chaos. See if we can get some interesting spikes out of that as well. He's written a good piece of work there. We've reviewed that before. But at any rate, that's all up and coming on Christian Worldview. Stay tuned. We're going to take a quick break right now, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Or 8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces, or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger. Nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb. Nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Special guest host today, Greg Ferrier, as usual, talking about interesting stuff related to the Christian faith and politics. Your weather for today is as follows. Greenville, Spartanburg, currently 69 degrees. Greenville, downtown, 68. Anderson, 69. Clemson, 69. Today, showers with slight chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. Locally, heavy possible rainfall. Highs in the mid-70s. East winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And just a quick add, since we're talking about Stephen Yates and Dr. Stephen Yates' recent column in the Times Examiner, I also want to mention his new book, The Worldviews, Christian Theism versus Modern Materialism. This book regularly sells for $20.99. You can pick up a copy for $18.99 if you write in and tell him you're a member of the Constitution Party or the Libertarian Party, plus $2.50 shipping and handling. You send your orders to the Worldviews Project, care of Dr. Yates, 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216 in Greenville, South Carolina. That's 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216, Greenville, South Carolina. The zip code is 29615. That's 29615. So hope you can pick up a copy, make your check payable to the Worldviews Project and support this great author and this is his fight for liberty. Also, I wanted to make a quick announcement about the tyrannyresponse.com and .net website. Remember, all your events are listed there on the calendar under the Events tab. Under the Related Media tab, there's a special link we are encouraging people to go to, the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. Go ahead and go there and sign the petition. It'll take you 30 seconds. Click on the link and fill in your name and support your fundamental rights to life, liberty, and property. Those are constitutionally or guaranteed rights that are mentioned in the Declaration of Independence and the Fifth Amendment. Go ahead and click on that link. It'll take you 30 seconds and sign the petition online to support your fundamental rights. And finally, if you have some time that you can volunteer for the Tyranny Response Network, we're in need of people to help produce the Christian Worldview Show. Days like today when Dr. Coben is sitting here trying to fly the plane isn't necessarily the best solution for the Tyranny Response Network, so we do need some help with people for substitute producers, as well as people who have some technical know-how for producing signals and network stuff. If you can help out, go to the contact tab on tyrannyresponse.com and send an email to just about anybody you see there, and you'll be happy that you did, and we'll be happy that you did. But anyway, we appreciate your support of the Tyranny Response Network and Christian Worldview especially. All right, Greg, what else have we got back to say about Stephen Yates and his article?
Well, the interesting thing about the book is, as you look at this book, it says World Views, and then the subtitle is Christian Theism versus Modern Materialism. Do they really, as so many people seem to act, do they kind of blend in? Does the Christian worldview blend in with that of the modern materialism, or is there an antithesis there? For you theonomists out there, have you ever read Dr. Greg Bahnsen's address that he gave to the inauguration of the Van Til Lectures at Westminster Seminary? The title of it was, and you can it wouldn't take a lot of guessing to find out what it was all about. I commend the article to you. It was titled The Necessity of Antithesis in Reformed Apologetics. And it's interesting to me that Stephen actually put the versus modern materialism in there. I like that. And another little comment on the book here, in the very front, about the third page or so, he has a biblical quote from Hosea 4:6. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." That's should send chills up and down your spine to think of that. I remember a doctor that I know, and I had, was chatting with some years ago, and he quoted that verse, and he was thinking in terms of church picnics and church suppers when he quoted that verse. He said, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." He says, you go to your average church picnic and all the stuff that they eat that's just bad for you. And they wonder why they're sick. You eat all this bad stuff that's coming out of the political cafeteria, and it's no wonder we're sick. We don't understand what's going on, and it gets disappointing. You find out more and more politicians and commentators just swallow the what's commonly called the neocon line. It just seems to be the compromise between humanism or modern materialism and that which is biblical, and it can't be done. There is an antithesis. It's them versus us.
Yes, for sure. No kidding. Well, go ahead and pick up where a few of the other quotes out of the Stephen Yates article this week in Times Examiner. Just a few of the highlights there.
Okay. I made a little mark here. It says, "It seems to me that the basic," and this is quoting Dr. Yates, "it seems to me that the basic ideals motivating libertarian political philosophy are not only compatible with Christian ones, especially as expressed by the founding fathers." Well, can I throw that back to you, John, and make a little a comment on that? Because that's got me mentally stirred.
Well, read that again. Let's make sure the listeners got the part right.
Let me start at the top of the paragraph here. "It is true that many libertarians argue their case on non-religious or even irreligious grounds, following, for example, thinkers such as Ayn Rand and her philosophy," Ayn Rand being an atheist, "and her philosophy of objectivism. It seems to me that the basic ideals motivating libertarian political philosophy are not only compatible with Christian ones, especially as expressed by the founding fathers."
Well, I agree entirely with what Stephen's saying here, because the libertarian principle of non-aggression, the whole purpose we have a state, or excuse me, a government, is to defend us from predators. And the vision the founding fathers had to try to cage or constrain government so it wouldn't grow into a state is precisely, I think, the optimal way that we can operate in civilization today, and as Christians we can support. And so the libertarian philosophy, at least at its fundamental principle, is very compatible with Christianity. And I think Stephen Yates, that's why he's a Christian libertarian, and that's why I am, both of us being pro-life libertarians. Now, that's not to say that someone couldn't slip into the Constitution Party. I think there's some inconsistencies there, and that's why I don't choose to be in the party. But I don't think, by and large, that's the case. I think it's, by and large, very similar to pro-life libertarian. And they would have at their fundamental basis themselves a very libertarian understanding or view of the world. So anyway, I think Stephen's right there, and you may want to comment on that too, Greg, or just go ahead and read some more of his quotations.
Well, let me run the problem that I've noticed in talking with fundamentalists, Republicans, conservative Republicans, if they have anything left to conserve.
Mm-hmm. Well, they can conserve socialism or globalism.
How about liberty-loving Republicans?
Yeah.
Okay, who are just adrift and don't know what's going on, or don't know what to do, even if they do know what's going on. I mean, these are people that we have to be very sympathetic with, because if we sat down with them and, you know, had lunch with them, or just sat down and chatted with them, we'd probably all be in the same groove. Mm. But then it's how do we accomplish these things? I used to be of the opinion that we could work within the party, and perhaps to a small extent that's true, that you can put pressure on some of these guys, like call up somebody like Gresham Barrett or Bob Inglis and say, hey, look, this is the way we think, and if enough of us call, then you might turn his head. But generally speaking, they tend to consult with the higher ups in the party. It seems to me that way. I don't know what they do when they hang up the phone, but it seems to me that they deal with the higher ups in the party. But I got a little off track in my thought process, but let me come back here. And the problem that these types of people, Constitution Party people, evangelicals, fundamentalists, theonomists, people like that, they say libertarians, well, they're the pot smokers, they're the people that are for homosexual rights, and it has all this type of thing put out before them. Would you like to respond to just what I said there, and I'll add something after that?
Well, yeah, I mean, the common perception of libertarians is that, look, libertarians are a bunch of nuts that are in favor of legalizing drugs, and their whole goal is to get a libertine kind of agenda. And what happens is, unfortunately, is you do have a lot of people in the Libertarian Party which are pro-death. They are, you know, what I call pro-abortion rights. I call them pro-death. They are also in favor of using drugs for themselves and so forth. Yeah, you have people in there who are homosexuals. But you know what? I mean, you do in every party. I mean, for some reason, people don't want to see that about the Republican Party. You have log cabin Republicans. You have people that are in favor of legalizing drugs. You have Arlen Specters who are pro-aborts. You probably have more, a higher percentage of them, in the Libertarian Party. But those libertarians are inconsistent, and they are the illegitimate ones, or as the King James would put it, the bastards of the Libertarian Party. They are the ones who are illegitimately pursuing the non-aggression principle for their own libertine agenda. Now, that is something that's allowable in a libertarian framework. People are absolutely right. Well, wouldn't you allow certain people to behave badly in a libertarian society, whereas in any tyrannical society, or even a theonomic society or other society, wouldn't you want to stop people from sinning by the force of the state? Yes, that's true. That would be an accurate depiction. But what a libertarian ethic would say is the way you get people to change their bad behavior, whether it's homosexuality or drug use or anything else, is by preaching the gospel to them and not by using the force of the state. It's the entire philosophy about what one thinks about the state, its nature, as my article is talking about this week in the Times Examiner, for example, and what leads you to vote either for, as a principled person, either for the Constitution Party or for the Libertarian Party. But I think that Stephen's right on that. You end up having people who, and I think Greg's point is well taken here, we have people who tend to be weird in our minds as Christians in the Libertarian Party, but that does not mean the libertarian principle, the ethic, is incorrect. In fact, it is correct, and if Christians would make a move in large mass to the Libertarian Party, we would see that party transform dramatically, because its principle is so compatible with the Christian ethic. Now, I'm going to let you say one other word, Greg, then we have to take a break. We got a couple of emails that came in from people who saw the Channel 4 showing of 10 to 15 seconds with me on the air. We'll talk about that when we get back, but we're overdue for a break, and you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
All right, now it is my turn to bring us back. The pilot has signaled me that we are now back on the air and hopefully keeping this thing flying on an even keel, as they say in water navigation. I don't know if they keep planes on even keels. But anyway, along the lines of what John was talking about a few moments ago, about libertarians, or is it compatible with a biblical worldview? And I raised the question, they're pro-drug use. There are some of them, not say all of them. There are those that are the pro-homosexual rights and everything else like that. I wanted to interject as he was talking something from the front of Dr. Napolitano's book called Constitutional Chaos. I was reading things in here that were most amazing to me. But there's a little dialogue here from A Man for All Seasons between a Lady Alice Moore, Thomas Moore, William Roper, and those are the four people in the dialogue. Anyway, let me read this thing here. It says, Lady Alice Moore, okay, is our opening speaker. She says, arrest him! And Thomas Moore says, for what? And Alice Moore says, he's dangerous. For all we know, he's a spy. And Margaret Moore says back, this would be Thomas's daughter, father, that man's bad. There's no law against that. There is God's law, resounds William Roper. Thomas Moore says, then let God arrest him. Lady Alice Moore says, while you talk, he's gone. And so Thomas Moore comes in and says, and go he should, if he were the devil himself until he broke the law. And Mr. Roper says, so now you give the devil the benefit of the law? Yes, says Thomas Moore. What would you do? Cut a great road through the law to get after the devil? And Mr. Roper says, yes, I cut down every law in England to do that. Thomas Moore says, oh, and when the last law was down and the devil turned round on you, where would you hide, Roper? The laws are all being flat. This country is planted thick with laws, from coast to coast, man's laws, not God's. And if you cut them down and you're just the man to do it,
Do you really think you could stand upright in the winds that would blow, then? Let me take that last little sentence. Do you really think you could stand upright in the winds that would blow then? Yes, I give the devil the benefit of the law for my own safety's sake.
That's a very libertarian kind of idea there, isn't it?
I'd say it's a little on the extreme of libertarianism, but he's making the point and quotes this further on in the, or refers back to this further on in the book, where laws are actually, where he talks about, and perhaps we can come to this a little later, he talks, when he was a judge, he would see people, particularly he refers to the police, who would be breaking laws and bending the laws themselves so that they could get convictions or catch people, you know, like planting a packet of cocaine under somebody's seat, mm-hmm. and getting somebody arrested that they thought they needed to arrest, and then it began to be a chaotic situation before the bench, and it is perhaps we can get to that a little later, but I think we still need to do justice to Dr. Yates and our comments on him.
Was there anything more you wanted to add out of the article? While you're looking through there, if you want to add something else, let me just mention about the coverage that was on the Christian Exodus thing last night. It relates to the Christian Exodus thing, Channel 4 News at 11 o'clock. For those of you who are afflicted with a television still, you probably might have seen it. Chuck writes in and says, "Hi, John. I just saw the coverage on YF4. Now, I don't know what YF means, but it must be something to do with television.
That's their call letters.
Oh, all right. He just saw the coverage on YF4. They did a nice job of characterizing Christian Exodus and showed only your interview. They'd also interviewed some other people, but apparently I'm the only one that they put on. In context, telling the need for the Constitution Party and pro-life libertarians to transform our world. I saw and heard nothing to object to, thought it was fair and respectful." So that's good. That's good that we got good press for Christian Exodus as well as for pro-life libertarians. And Christian Exodus, of course, is mostly Constitution Party folks, but there are also a number of libertarians in there, at least closet ones. And this is Brad wrote in and said, "Upon further review, we taped it, and I don't trust the news whores," he says. "John's 10 to 15 second blurb was inserted for his statement of transforming the world, and the news piece ended with the statement that Christian Exodus wants to make politicians adhere to the Constitution and principles of the Founding Fathers. Not that I disagree with the above statements at all, but these people are completely out of touch with reality, and that was the best they could come up with to put a negative sort of slant on Christian Exodus in their eyes. Great coverage, and John did a great job. Good plugs for the Libertarian Constitution parties as well. Too bad we didn't get to see anyone else on the air." Well, that's interesting, isn't it, that they slanted it in our favor. I tried to not give them anything they could slam either the parties or Christian Exodus with, and my main comments were that that Christian Exodus is principled and caring, but apparently that didn't make it, and the transforming the world did. That's okay, too. We are here to transform the world as Christians. We're active in our society. Stephen Yates is active in the society. That's why he's a pro-life libertarian. That's why I am. Greg's here working, and he's fed up with the Republican Party, not trying to fix a bad thing and make it work like Tony Beam was apparently trying to do until hopefully recently. We're trying to make a difference in the world and make these guys obey the principles of the Founding Fathers. That's a libertarian ideal. What's so wrong about that? Well, apparently it was shocking to them, and it sounded like a negative thing that we were trying to do. But hey, if that sounds negative, what can we say? You know, they're not only far gone, we've got a lot of work to do.
Does that make us sound like Reconstructionists?
Well, to some extent it does, doesn't it?
Because you know, there's a lot of compatible things amongst the Constitutionalists, the Libertarians, the Theonomists, or sometimes you can say Theonomists / Reconstructionists. I think we have a lot going for us we're all traveling down the same path going in that direction. And when we have libertarians or anybody who is an aberration of your party or of your thought process, you have a just something that gives people pause for thought. Am I in the right situation? Am I going in the right direction? Are these people with me or against me? Now,
Now before you go on, let me interject. I love to read Reconstructionists. I mean, and in fact, I use them. If you read any of my articles, you'll find that it's full of people who are Reconstructionists. I look at the difference between liberty of conscience people and Reconstructionists, and liberty of conscience people are going to tend to be libertarian, and constitutionalists are going to tend to be Reconstructionists, I think, by and large. But I look at the difference as much like the difference between a Baptist and a Presbyterian. They have so much in agreement, and yet their fundamental principles, like about the covenant, make them differ on how they apply things like baptism or church government. And the same thing is true here. When you look at the state as a virtue rather than a vice, or as a potential virtue, I should say, rather than a vice, you're going to end up with a different result than if you see the state as impeccably evil, if that's a good way to put, good two words to put together.
No. you can. I'll allow you to back up and say that in a better way.
All right.
Because I know you can.
Intrinsically evil, completely non-transformable. If you look at the state as that way, you're going to have a very different perspective on voting and parties and so forth, and Christian worldview, how it works out. Doesn't mean that we won't agree 100% with Reconstructionists and Liberty of Conscience School and the Reconstructionists on whether we should have prisons, or the whole notion of slavery, or the notion of just war, or the notion of being able to rebel, so to speak, or actually resist evil, tyrannical states with armed force. There are so many things that would be in agreement that that what we disagree about pales by comparison, I think. But there is the fundamental distinction of how you use the state that is different between the two.
We were discussing during the break something, and I have a minute to say this now. All right. We're discussing I hope to bring this up when we come back, about when you talk about a pro-life libertarian or a pro-abort libertarian, because all men are made in the image of God, even somebody who would be a libertarian who is liberty-loving, and yet they are inconsistent in something that perhaps the evangelical mind would disagree with, it still shows they're made in the image of God, and they can recognize, even the most evil of men can recognize virtue. Have I got 30 seconds now to expound on that? Okay. Even a Marxist, one of the shall I say, the observations, and I'm going to use this word carefully, the virtues of Marxist or Marxism, they recognize that the rich tend to oppress the poor. James recognizes that in his epistle, that the rich tend to oppress the poor. Here's something, because a Marxist is made in the image of God, even though he rebels against God, he still recognizes this. So there are truths out there that people see, even the vilest of people recognize certain truths because they are made in the image of God. And I see those buttons getting pushed out there, so we'll be back in a moment.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network, sensible radio that knows that open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Your weather is as follows. Greenville, Spartanburg, 70 degrees. Greenville, downtown, 68. Anderson, 69. And Clemson, 69. Today, showers. Can you believe that wet weather? Showers with a slight chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. Locally heavily rainfall possible. Highs in the mid-70s. East winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. So that's your weather for the day. Be prepared for wet weather if you're making your way out. And one quick announcement, since it's very on topic today. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find there are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. on the second Thursday of the month at the library on Malden Road between the Old Stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, just join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street, downtown Greenville. We would love to swap ideas for you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. And up in Spartanburg, and we know we have a new signal there, so a lot of people in Spartanburg listening to us now. We would like to tell you, too, that the Libertarian Party has a couple of meetings there as well. The October business meeting will be held on Tuesday, October 18th at 6:30 p.m. I think that is the third Tuesday of the month. So hopefully, I think Rip and Richie's got that on the calendar, if I'm not mistaken. The meeting is going to be held there at the Westside branch of the Spartanburg County Library. The Liberty of Plenty meeting will also be on the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m., and that will occur at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In. So if you're in Spartanburg, hope you can attend one of those meetings. And since I mentioned Rip and Richie, his show came on at 9 o'clock yesterday in the morning. Can you believe that? He switched from 4:30 in the afternoon to 9:30 in the morning. That's a true libertarian in practice. He just is nothing to guide him at all. He just shows up whenever he wants on the airways. No, I'm teasing. He does a great job, and yesterday was a very entertaining show, especially at the beginning. But at any rate, stay tuned to some days for Rip and Richie's show, The Slaker Cow Slaughterhouse, immediately following Christian Worldview. If it happens to be there, otherwise it just happens to be on at some other time in the day, maybe 4:30 in the afternoon, you'll catch it then. All right, those are our announcements here, Greg. I know you have some other stuff to bring up about Stephen Yates and Judge Napolitano, so take it away.
Why you keep saying Neapolitano?
I don't know. I'm thinking of ice cream.
Oh, is that what that was? I thought it was maybe neocon, neocon on the mind here. I'm going to live dangerously here and lift a few quotes out of the Dr. Yates' article here. It says here, small wonder theologians such as Mark A. Knoll can write candidly that the scandal of the evangelical mind is that there is not much of an evangelical mind.
Amen. I've read that book. He's right.
Yeah. The plain truth is, didn't I get that book for you?
No, I had.
You had it already?
Long ago.
Some time ago? All right. Well, anyway, the plain truth is the Republican Party was hijacked by neoconservatives who have little interest in evangelicals except for their votes. Neocons, many of whom are former Trotskyite socialists, are not conservatives. Is that what got him a little upset there, John?
I don't know.
Yeah, Trotskyite socialists are not conservatives in the original sense of the term. They do not believe in limited government, for example, but in using powerful centralized government to achieve goals that are only slightly different from those the liberal left always wanted. And then skipping across to the another little paragraph here on the other side of the article, it says, a Christian libertarian embraces many of the ideals and goals of the genuine conservatives of old, all of whom were convinced Christians. Some of us hold to Christian libertarianism over conservatism, not because our positions have changed, but because of how this society's establishment has lurched leftward and into globalism over the past 15 years.
Hmm.
Now, all that is to say, we have, it brings me back to the original thing that we brought up. Can Christians be libertarians? I think we have a misidentity here in that when a libertarian, let's just say a man like you were talking about during the break, academics, who are
academic libertarians, as far as I can tell, are simply leftists who believe in the free market. They are social leftists who believe in the free market. They realize communism won't work, socialism is a bad deal, and so they need to espouse an economic theory of capitalism and free markets there. But they're still really willing to go to the bar and bend the elbow with the local Marxist or the homosexual or whoever else. And that's a large thrust inside libertarianism, people who came over that way. But that doesn't mean that the principle of libertarianism is stained by the entrance of those kinds of people into the party. They are there.
Yeah, the any organization that has any type of a principle that is attractive to somebody, I have been in and around different organizations over the years, and you always seem to attract somebody who has one or two principles with you, like just say, for example, and this is not to put the onus on any one of these organizations. Say the John Birch Society is for, they have a number of things that they stand for that are libertarian, free markets, and so forth. And perhaps you get a gun nut who, this is his only thing that he really cares about. Well, he may be attracted to the John Birch Society, or he may be attracted to the NRA, but he may be, a child molester somewhere. I'm saying that's the possibility there. Some people from the fringe are attracted to these good groups. Mm. And so you get an outfit like the libertarians who believe in free markets and so forth. Well, you get somebody like John was talking about. They may be as wicked as they can be, and yet they like the idea. They see that free markets work, and so they're attracted there. And these are just things that...
Right, but don't let that dissuade you. I mean, you still have people that are libertarians, like my wife and I, who I suppose some of you are think are kind, good people, not totally debauched. Lord willing, I'm not, at any rate. As well as Dr. Stephen Yates. There's just two examples. You also have Ben Graydon, another libertarian who writes in the Times Examiner, and Walter Williams. If you like any of those people, and even Walter Williams, who's not a Christian, is not an immoral person, as far as I know, and a debauched person. So you have a lot of very, very good libertarian people out there. It's just that the few fanatics and nuts give the party a bad name, and some of the programs that are postulated out in California with the big push towards legalizing drugs. Well, aren't you in favor of legalizing drugs, Dr. Copeland? Well, yeah, of course. Why would I want the state to criminalize something that just is a ruse for a bigger government and more intrusion, invasion to our life and privacy, and causing a loss of liberty and a loss of social welfare? That's all the war on drugs has done. It hasn't solved anything. You can't solve a consensual sin through state action. But that's a whole other topic for another day, and I'm not going to broach that today. But there are analytical reasons why we would say the state should not be in charge of making drugs illegal. As a matter of fact, the state has no business in being proactive whatsoever, because, in my opinion, the state is evil by nature. But again, that is also another topic. And in fact, read my article in the Times Examiner this week to follow up with that. And I want to finish with Stephen Yates' article here. Go ahead, and Greg, if you've got something more to say about it. And then I'm going to go into something that I wrote that was controversial and caused a lot of stir among Times Examiner faithful and discussion, the whole issue of nationalism and immigration. But go ahead and finish up with Stephen here.
Okay, well, over the years, I've noticed that the left oftentimes will catch a principal. And, you know, they may have something that perhaps Republicanism is wrong on, and they oftentimes will catch a fault. Racism in America. You know, they go out there and they say, you know, the people of non-white races, if I may use that term, are downtrodden. They've got problems. And other people will turn around and the so-called conservatives will deny that. I remember the Vietnam War and how that was run, and the left would complain about the war and protest the war and talk about all the things that were done wrong to bring us into that war, and yet the so-called conservatives were... that's the first time I ever remember people being referred to as hawks, hawks and doves.
Yeah.
So they, the left may, or an evil person, and I don't want to equate left and evil at the moment, but...
well, you could.
Yeah, well, you could, depending upon what, you know, maybe I should. Anyway, a left-leaning person may not be an immoral person. You know, they may love their wife and raise their children and everything else like that, that we would think as being virtuous. But because you are, people tend to be inconsistent in some things, and when you turn around and you just want to fight against, I guess the whole thing that's coming down to is the conservatives want to fight against that party, the left party, when perhaps if we had been, if the conservatives had been a little more dovish or a little more constitutional, we would not have had that debacle over there in Southeast Asia or in the Arab countries right now.
Yeah, they really did go way beyond the bounds of the Constitution. Of course, I think the Libertarian Party was largely founded out of the protest over the Vietnam War, and the left... realizing that I think they were right about their in protesting it, but in many respects, that'll raise some ire for some people. But the war, I don't think it was a just war. I can't see why it would be. I'd be willing to be convinced otherwise, but as far as I can tell, it was an unjust war. A lot of people who began to see leftism as wrong and also saw that hawkism was wrong joined the Libertarian Party, led by Murray Rothbard. I think it formed in the early 1970s, 72, if I'm not mistaken.
Right as the war was winding down or over.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. But of course, the seeds for the party were being developed all through the 60s when the protest happened, and it finally came down to actually becoming a party, I think, in the early 70s. So that the war was a large impetus for it. And they were right in saying the war, the draft is slavery. There is no difference between forcing someone to be on your plantation picking cotton and forcing him to go and fight against some other enemy of the government or the state that against your will for the wages they prescribe. It is a form of slavery, the draft, conscription. Well, anyway...
All right, it's getting up time for a break, but let me say this, that we need to sit back and really think hard and not just make this a political situation, you know, my party versus their party. Let's sit down and see what is the right angle to take on these various issues that confront us. We'll be right back.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84. Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Well, we wanted to remind you folks, too, today, if you're interested in attending the TRN meeting, it's at 1:40 or 1:30 at the China Walk Buffet on Pelham Road, right near I-85. Every Friday it is. Next Friday's, this Friday is going to be a good meeting because I'll be there, of course, with Stephen Yates, and we'll be talking about some of these issues we've discussed here on the air today. You're welcome to join us there. We'll be there all afternoon. Come anytime you want. Leave anytime you want. Next week, right before the Christian Exodus Conference, Corey Burnell will be there for the first hour speaking to us on sort of a rah-rah session for all the faithful, I suppose. And we'll be happy to have him. Looking forward to meeting him in person. Well, I wanted to touch on one other topic here in the last.
You're going to give us some critical analysis here right now?
Of which?
Well, in your article, this is what we were discussing in our show.
Oh, you're talking about the current article on the nature of the state. Well, that's a whole different article series. I want to go in and talk about the nationalism article from last week because it caused so much stir. Now, I don't know. Maybe the nature of the state article also caused some stir, mm-hmm. and we'll have a chance to talk about that here too. Why not? Why don't you leave the page open to that? And we'll.
Okay.
That's a three-part series. Well, the five-part series ending up on nations and nationalism contained these paragraphs, and they really caused a stir. So let me read them.
You've mixed the chemicals that bring about the heat. Huh?
That's right. And well, okay. you hold people's theories up to the light sometimes, and if they don't hold up to biblical scrutiny, then you know there's a well they've got it's uncomfortable. I think. That's my view on it. But I wrote this, and this is in last week's Times Examiner. Christians are pilgrims in this world who seek a heavenly country, Hebrews 11:6. They are told by Christ to flee persecution, Matthew 10:23, and a bunch of other places, as Joseph and Mary did in Matthew 2:13, along with countless other believers throughout history. Such obedient fleeing might entail a Christian having to enter another country, perhaps violating the country's immigration policies. But so what? Christians are remiss if they make the well-being of their country the primary focal point for dedicating or deciding the veracity of immigration policy rather than the well-being of God's beloved people. On the one hand, a Christian's nationality is irrelevant, and Christians should welcome believing immigrants with open arms, whether they are legal or illegal in the state's eyes. For Christians, borders and legality of immigration are trivial or extraneous when it comes to obeying Christ's command to flee persecution or to love and prefer one another in Christ, Philippians 2:2. How can Christians who financially and prayerfully support national pastors and church members living under tyrannical regimes hinder those same people from fleeing to America or freer countries by any means? The sanctimonious divine right notion that Christians may only flee when it is legal to do so and may only then immigrate to America after they have clearance from state bureaucrats is fallacious, hypocritical, and unbiblical. I mince my words very well, as you can tell. On the other hand, a Christian may support the limited government where he lives, procuring better self-defense for life and liberty. A Christian is called to steward his private property too, Proverbs 27, 23, and 24. To those ends, Christians may justly back reactive public policy to safeguard national borders, oppose any migration that undermines the common defense of life and liberty and property, and even by default rule, oppose the illegal immigration of ordinary unbelievers. Such reactive immigration policy will be most efficiently and effectively carried out through market-based solutions rather than clumsy and venal attempts by government enforcement. So here I'm setting up a paradigm saying, look, let's not just have a one-size-fits-all immigration policy. First of all, as a Christian, you owe an allegiance to let anybody come across who's a Christian that's persecuted. And even if they're not, why wouldn't you want to fill America with Christians? Well, it sounds like a big Christian exodus movement, if you would call it that. On the other hand, if there are thugs coming across the border, are there people who are actually going to cause harm? Then yeah, sure, we have the right to defend our borders and keep those folks out. Doesn't mean we have to have a dual-formed border patrol. It means that the border should be privatized, as I've argued it beforehand. And instead, we need to be careful in how we judge as Christians the whole immigration policy and not be so blanket in our opposition. So that caused a great deal of conversation. Can you see why, Greg, over to some folks?
Oh yeah, well, you know, when you were reading that, my thoughts went back to people I know of in China who are hiding things and hiding people from the government there. The government over there, they could go out and put you, if they found out you were a Christian or handing out literature or doing some sort of Christian activity, they could put you in jail or just kind of make you disappear.
Yeah, that's right.
So resisting the state there, where is the difference? Are we such a righteous country? I mean, even some of the well-meaning neocons of today are beginning to realize that the government is not your friend.
It's not the friend of 50 million aborted babies, as far as I know, or a few other folks that have been slaughtered off.
And neither is the Mexican government a wonderful friend. You know, in Judge Napolitano's book, in that opening pages there, it says, the 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Ronald Reagan.
Said Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. So if you have some immigration problems, I mean, I have a good friend of mine was deported. He was raising his family here. He was doing business with me and other people, had a legitimate business. And because some lawyer had fouled up his, do you have a green card is what to let you stay here for a while? He was deported. He was actually planning on becoming an American citizen. And he had to leave.
Yeah.
Just because of some bureaucratic snafu.
Well, my allegiance, and yours I'm sure too, Greg, is primarily to Jesus Christ. And after that, my secondary allegiance is to my family and to the Church of Jesus Christ in this world. It's not to America, the political apparatus that's set up around me. It's not to Chile. It's not to the Czech Republic or any other political organization. It's to God and to Christians. And if they need to flee here, I'm happy to help them, illegally or not. And when they get here, that's not to say I want to leave them in a state of being illegal immigrants. We'll do what we can to get them legal and all that so that it's easier for them to survive here. But there's nothing wrong with me helping them get across the border or flee from persecution. Jesus tells them to flee. He doesn't tell them to get legal and then flee. He says flee. And that flee implies leaving illegally and entering somewhere else illegally if necessary. It doesn't get constrained by man's law or reinterpreted according to what man's rules are.
Well, let me short-circuit some criticisms here of what you said. I hope I can short-circuit them. Now, you've told us what you believe on this and what is valid to do. You're breaking the law in a moral sense, okay? You're breaking the country's laws.
Man's
laws. Man's laws, okay? You know, there's such, it's like Thomas More was saying, there's so many laws planted in England, there's so many laws that you can violate some laws and still obey other laws at the same time. I remember when they used to pick on Jesse Helms for campaign violations. Mm-hmm. I remember him saying that one time. You could keep this law and violate another. There's so many and it's so confusing. Okay, now, put a positive I don't want to say spin, because that tends to connote lying nowadays. It didn't to me until I began to say, use the word, put a spin on this, or you're going to lie. In other words, I looked at it, the way you spin something is the way you looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The people that I rub shoulders with during the day see these immigrants coming in from various places. You have dangerous immigrants like some of these Al-Qaeda type people.
Yeah.
You have people that come in here and milk the system. You know, they come in here and they'll find some young girl, marry her, have a child by her, and somehow they are able to come in there and milk the system. That to me is immoral.
Sure.
Now people are going to say, and I know people are going to say something about, well, you want open, John Coben wants open borders, he wants free immigration, he wants all these things. He's going to let these people get away with all that stuff.
Well, how are we going to say open borders when I just read what I said here, that it's okay to justly guard your borders?
Mm-hmm.
So that's
well,
that one.
See, now, those are things that I'm just bringing that up so you'll emphasize it, okay?
Yeah, don't make up stuff.
Don't make up stuff about, I've heard preachers, well-known preachers, that they almost have this paranoia where they say, I did not say this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't quote me and say, well, Pastor so-and-so says this, because I did not say that. And this is one thing where I'm giving you the opportunity right now, Dr. Coben, to say, I did not say this.
That's right.
And I did say that.
Well, I said Christians may justly back reactive public policy to safeguard national borders, oppose any migration that undermines the common defense of life, liberty, or property, and even by default rule oppose the illegal immigration of ordinary unbelievers. I say that right in the article, so there shouldn't be any doubt that there is a time to protect borders.
Okay, now the positive end of that. Now say that the opposite of what you were actually saying there.
Well,
what did you actually say?
I said
again?
If there's a Christian that needs to come to this country, and we only have 30 seconds left before the show ends, so this will be a good time it's a good topic to end the show on, but if there's a Christian that needs to get here and they're fleeing persecution, they can come in illegally or illegally, as far as I'm concerned, and still be morally right with God. Any way they can get here is fine, and we Christians have a duty to help them get here. They may also have a duty they might see to help them become legal after they're here, but nevertheless, they need to have a duty to come here. They need to have a duty to help people come here. Also, to encourage people to not take part of the welfare state benefits. You know, people complain that they come over here and abuse the system, as you said, and they do, but Christians abuse it too. They're here taking welfare. They take Social Security. They take student grants. They take all sorts of immoral things and then complain about other people that do the same thing. It's absolute hypocrisy and wickedness. Well, if you want to take the last word here, Greg, it's 9 o'clock. We're going to have to end the show.
Okay, well, it just sounds to me like we all need to think through our positions better than we have.
Amen.
And perhaps we can take this up some other time.
Well, then, at least in a couple of weeks when you're back again. And you've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad that you did. We'll be back on Monday morning for another great edition. We'll have your presence once again at that time. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.